Okay, we're going to discuss today one of the most fascinating passages in the Talmud. The argument between Hashem and the heavenly court. This is how it goes. This week's Torah portion, we're learning about various kinds of ritual impurity. If someone contracts on their skin a disease called tzaras, so they become ritually impure. But what is the definition of tzaras? How is it diagnosed? So the Torah says, if you have on your skin this white patch called a beheres, and then this white patch grows a white hair, then you are ritually impure. What happens if the white hair grows before the patch, before this white patch grows on your skin? And in other words, it's not that the white patch is producing this white hair. The white hair is there before the white patch. So then the halacha is that you are pure. What happens if you look at your skin one day and you're like, I don't know if the patch came first or the white hair came first. I'm not sure. The Kohen doesn't know. You can't determine. So the Gemara says there's a passage in Masechta Nagoyim, a tractate of which talks about this, Perek Yudal Mishnah Beis, I believe. Perek Dal Mishnah Yudalef, rather. And the Talmud says there's an argument between the sages and Rabbi Yeshua. The sages say that it's impure. Rabbi Yeshua says that it's pure. But then there's another place that this Talmudic argument is mentioned in Bavad Metzia, page 86a. There the Gemara says that there's an argument between the heavenly academy. In heaven there's a yeshiva as well. And the heavenly academy has an opinion about what the halacha should be in this situation where you don't know what came first, a patch or the white hair. And so the heavenly academy says that it's impure. If you don't know, it's impure. Then it says, Akutcha Brichu, Hashem, he says it's pure. So now we have this argument. How do we determine who's right? How do we determine the halacha? So the Gemara says, they sent a messenger to ask the greatest sage of the time, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni said about himself, I am the only one who determines the halacha in laws of diseases, in laws of ritual impurity associated with a dead body being in a tent and the kind of transfer of impurity and impurity when a person is with impurity in a tent. So I'm the only one who advocates these kinds of questions. And he says, Tahir, Tahir, pure, pure. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is like this. First of all, how could there be an argument between Rabbi Bar Nachmeni and the heavenly court and Hashem? Can you say that someone argues with Hashem? So the question is more about the heavenly court, because when a person's alive in this world, the Torah says, "Emashgichin bebaskel." You're not supposed to pay attention to what you hear, the voices that come from heaven. Even if you could know for sure that this is indeed a voice from heaven, and you were of the caliber of someone who had divine inspiration, nevertheless, the way to determine halacha is not by voices from heaven. You're not allowed to pay attention to a voice from heaven, a legitimate voice from heaven. More, the Talmud says, "Teyali b'shamayimi." The Torah is not in heaven. So only people in this world, they can determine the halacha. They can only determine halacha with their own mind. They can't pay attention to the prophecy. They can't pay attention to the divine inspiration. So it makes sense that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, that he could have an opinion. But the heavenly court, they're in heaven. So how can we, celestial beings, how can we say that they have a difference of opinion between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what's going on over here? Another thing is, Rabbi Nachmani didn't just say it's pure, he says pure, pure. What's the emphasis of double? Why say pure? Why does he say it's pure twice? And also, there's something called the machria. Machria means the one who determines the decision. So here Rabba is a determiner between, he's a deciding factor between Hashem and the heavenly court. So the principle is that when you have the third party that tilts the scale, that leans on one side, it's not just that the third party is using his weight, morning, and his opinion sides with the original opinion. Now you have two against one. It's more. It's that the third opinion incorporates in his opinion both sides. He sees the opinion of both those who say that it's pure and those who say that it's impure, and he is able to see both sides. And in his opinion, he is able to see the validity of both opinions, and yet he determines, with all the factors considered, what the halacha should follow. So here, Rabban Rav Nachmeni isn't just meant to say that it's that the heavenly court is right or Hashem is right. He is somehow adding something that wasn't in the argument before. So we understand, what was he adding to the argument? We have Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have Hashem giving his opinion, we have the heavenly court giving their opinion, and Rabban Rav Nachmeni, he must have another reason why it's pure that the heavenly court that Hashem didn't say. So what is this? What's going on over here? So to understand this, we says in the Torah, "Machusa derekia k'im chusa de'ara," the heavenly court, the heavenly monarchy, the kingdom of Hashem. It's like the kingdom of a human being. We can understand a lot of things about the how things are in heaven from the way things are on earth. So we find different kinds of titles attributed to kings and to greatness. One title that's used for Hashem and used for greatness is the title Rishon. Rishon means the first. First, not just chronologically, but the word first also means the best, the greatest. Like Avremel, you're the first, you're the best, right?
Yeah.
Of course you're the best, you know. So then, that's one way of describing greatness. Rishon, the best. But the word Rishon, first, also indicates that there's a second. It's just that this happens to be the first, but there is some other second. There's someone who came, there's the one who won the race, and there's someone who came in second. There's someone who's playing the same game. But then there's another expression that we use about the describing both a heavenly king and could be Al-Havdalah of Havdalah, describing a human king. You could say the king is unique, he's one, and there's no one like him. He is single. There was no one like him. The word is echad. We say in davening also, Hashem is echad, Hashem is one. And the Torah says, echad vein sheni lei. And we say also in Adin Elam, hu echad vein sheni, he is one, there is not a second. So the word one is more fungible. One could mean that that there is no one else, he's just one. Or one could be one in a sequence. There's one, there's two, there's three. So when we say Hashem is one and there's no one and there was no one like Hashem, so the word one does indicate that there's no one else, but it doesn't have to be that there's no one else. In other words, with the word first, that word indicates that there is someone else, just he's the first. With the word one, it's not that there can't be a second, it's just that there happens to not be a second. He happens to be one. The word one could also be used in a sequence, one, two, three. Echad could also be used in a sequence, echad sheni shlishi. It happens to be that Hashem is echad, Hashem is one, there isn't anyone else. Hu echad vein sheni lei. He is one, there's no one else. But the word itself lends room for there being a second. And then there's a third kind of description that's used, and that is the word yachid. Yachid means unique. The word unique means that there can't be anyone else. It's not just that this is the one that's best, or that this is the only one. It's that this happens to be the only one. Rather, the word unique means that there can't be anyone else. this is all there is. Unique means that there is no room for anyone else. So too, these three titles are relevant to this passage in the Gemara. There is Mesifta Derekia, there is the heavenly court. There is Kutcha Brichu, there is Hashem as he's described as being the Holy One, blessed be ye. And then there is another title that Rabbah says about himself, that I am Yachid, that I am unique. These three entities described in the Talmud are actually descriptions of various revelations of Hashem's truth. There is the way godliness is in its essence, and then there is the way godliness, Hashem contracts his light in order to make a world. So when the light is contracted so much that it's able to be a source for creation, so at that level, you can't say that there's no room for anything else. On the contrary, there is room. It's a source for creation. Let's take a bird's eye view from the words of Hashem. Let there be light. Those words, let there be light, are about the creation of light. They're about there being something other than godliness. So even though they are Hashem's words, and the existence of light depends on those words, but nevertheless, you can say, and Hashem is greater than all the creatures that he made, but you can say that there's no room for anything else from the perspective of Hashem's words, from the perspective of in the location of Hashem's words in the Godhead, so to speak. We're talking about the sphere of Malchus, the divine sphere of monarchy. At that level, we can't say that the world doesn't matter. On the contrary, the word Malchus means sovereignty. Hashem wants to be a king. So he, so to speak, the coexistence of Malchus, the existence of the words of Hashem, is that there should be a world. You can't say the world has no existence, no importance. What makes Malchus important is that Malchus produces a creation. The source of creation is about creation. So from the perspective of Malchus, there certainly is room for creation. So then there is a higher level of godliness, a higher level of godliness where it's beyond creation, where there is nothing else. It's higher than creation. However, it's not that there is no room for creation. It just happens to be higher than creation. In other words, there could be an evolvement, if you will, from this pristine revelation of godliness. It can be further contracted and to be the source of creation. It happens to be above creation. It happens to be infinite, but it's not out of the realm of the finite.
What's that word for that above creation?
The word would be Kutcha Brichu. So Kutcha Brichu means the Holy One, blessed be He. So that title for Hashem is whenever we daven, it's important to mention, whenever we daven, whenever we talk about Hashem, in the language of the Rivash, who was a Rishon, who was an earlier commentary in the Talmud, I don't want to say he's just a Rishon, now that I said a Rishon is not the greatest thing, he is one of the earlier commentaries in the Talmud, and he says, I need to pray like a child. Children don't know about any level, they pray with simplicity to the essence of Hashem. So when we dive into the essence of Hashem. But when we're talking about understanding this passage of the Talmud, we have to introduce this concept to know what we're talking about. Because this is a very deep passage in the Talmud, and without some Hasidic insight, you're left with more questions than you have answers. It's possible to explain it. So there is the godliness that shines in the heavenly court. There's a godly light that shines in the heavenly court. There's a godly light that shines that's beyond the heavenly court. That's called Kutcha Brichu, the infinite light of Hashem. And it's called Kaddish, it's called holy. But the very fact that we're calling it holy, holy in Judaism means distant, means separate. It's separate from something else. The fact that we're using the word holy to describe it means that there's a pedestal it can stand on. And the pedestal is big enough for him to stand on. In other words, the fact that we're saying that his greatness is that he is beyond creation, that itself tells you that he's somehow in the realm of creation. In other words, in the level of Malchus in the level of the source of creation, so then there is room for, there is, the creation has importance. But even at the level of the infinite, which is beyond creation, the very fact that, that we have to say that he negates creation, that he is higher than creation, the creation doesn't, is not a reality from his perspective because he's beyond it and there's nothing other than him, the very fact that we have to talk about, the very fact that creation is used to describe his greatness indicates that we're talking about something that is in the realm of creation. Chassidim talk about this parable that maybe is relevant to understand this. There is what's called in Kabbalah and Chassidus Hasagas HaChiyuv and Hasagas HaShlila. There's understanding what something is, but there's also an understanding of what something isn't. Sometimes you can't know what something is, but you can know what something isn't. It's, imagine you see someone from far away. You don't know who they are. But you know that that's not your mother, you know it's not your sister, you know it's not your brother, you know it's not a woman, you know, and then he comes closer, you know that it's not a child, comes closer, you know that they're not short, how tall, not fat, and then you come very close, you say, I don't know who that is. Similar way, there is various things we can know about Hashem, and there's some things we can't know about Hashem. We could know that Hashem is not the opposite of the, of those things. We could know that Hashem, we don't know what we say Hashem's wisdom. We don't know what Hashem's wisdom is. But we do know that Hashem is not the opposite of wisdom. We know, Hashem's wisdom is not limited to the wisdom of human being. So the fact that we're saying that Kudsha B'richo, that Hashem is beyond creation, that itself tells you that this level is somehow connected to creation. That there's something that this description tells you about Hashem's greatness. He is higher than creation. He is infinite beyond the world. That itself tells you that it's somehow relevant and related to the world. Then there's the third title. The third title that we use to describe Hashem is not just that he is one, but he is yachid, he is unique. That word describes a godly revelation that is not only beyond being a source of creation, it's also beyond being described as being higher than creation, because it is alone. It's a place where there's no room for creation. There's no room for creation in the first place. It's not that, like in the second model of Kudsha B'richu, of the one who is the Holy One, blessed be He, where His greatness is that He's beyond creation. We have to mention that He's higher than creation, and there's no room for, and that this level of godliness is higher than being a source for creation. But rather, there to begin with, there's no connection to creation. This is what the word Yachin means. So Rabbah Bar Nachmeni said, I am unique, I am one. What he also meant was that in him there was a revelation of this godly truth which leaves no room for anything other than Hashem. That truth of Hashem, which that light of Hashem, which is not just infinitely greater than creation, but that there's no reason to talk about creation, because it's that at that level there's no Hasagas HaShlila. At that level, saying that Hashem is beyond creation doesn't get you any closer to describing who He is, because it's not in the Hashem's not in the realm of creation in the first place. So at that level, the word is that's only word to describe it as Yachid. There's nothing other than Him. That truth shined in the soul of Rabbah Bar Nachmeni. So let's now get back to the argument in the Talmud. Something is impure. Impurity is the opposite of bittul. Bittul means a state of abnegation, a state of subservience, a state where you feel the truth of Hashem. When we immerse in a mikveh, the word that's used for immersion is tefillah. Tefillah has the same letters as the word bittul. Bittul, when you're going to the mikveh, part of it is that you're trying to push aside your ego. That's what it's about. The impurity means that there's some unhealthy feeling of ego. That's the spiritual malady called tumah. It's about yesh, it's about arrogance, it's about ego, or some subtle form of that. So the Talmud says that the heavenly court, they say about this condition where there is a lesion on the skin that is white, and we don't know if it came before the white hair or not. So the heavenly court says, since from the perspective of the heavenly court, their perspective is, as we said, connected to the level of Rishon. They're connected to the level called first, where there's room for there being a second, the room for there being something other than Hashem's truth. Since in the heavenly court there is a room for something else other than the truth of Hashem, from their purview, from that way they feel, therefore they're more aligned with the tumah, with impurity, and therefore they declare there's a doubt. The answer is impure. They're in a place that's close to the impurity, and therefore their ruling is pure. You don't know impure. Kudsh Abrichu, the infinite light of Hashem, which is beyond creation. But the term that we're using is that He is not Rishon, but He is Echad. He is one. But the word one again means one of a sequence where there can be a second. So at that level, which is above creation, but not beyond the realm of creation, at that level, the halacha is that there's no impurity, tar, purity. The decision is against the heavenly court. Kudsh Brichu, Hashem says, the Holy One, blessed be He, the One who is infinite, says there is no impurity. But Rabba says, Ani yachab ben goyim yachab ba'olos. So the simple meaning of his statement was, I'm the only one who could rule about the laws of diseases. I'm the only one who could rule about the laws of tents. But what he also was saying was that from the perspective of the truth of Hashem, as Hashem is not just within creation or within being a source for creation, and not just as Hashem's truth is beyond creation, but as Hashem's light is in its essence, where there's no room for anything else other than Him, there's no reason to negate creation from the perspective of the infinite light of Hashem, since it's still within the realm of creation. There is a need to mention creation and to negate it. But from the perspective of Yachid, from the perspective of the truth of Hashem, as He is in His essence, there's nothing other than Him, and therefore there's no room for impurity at all. And that's why Rabba said Tahar twice. The halacha is it's pure, and he said it twice. Why did he say it's pure twice? Because he was talking not only about the truth of the Kudsha Brichu, how things are from the perspective of the infinite, but even as things are in this physical world, even as things are within creation, also Rabbi Bar Nachmani says the halacha is tar, halacha is pure, because since in the realm of the essence of godliness, there's nothing other than Him, therefore even within the within limitations of creation, there's also the same pervading truth that all there is Him. There's no reason there's no need to be purified. There's all there is Hashem's truth. That's the that's a deeper look at this Talmudic statement, and hopefully give us a deeper look at where we need to go today. Where we need to go this week. Where we need to go till we get to Mashiach's coming immediately. Any questions or comments? All right.
The possibility is yourself.
Really?
It's work. The possibility is yourself. It's work. Yeah.
Tazria.
Yeah.
That's the right Torah portion. That's the one we're doing this week.